the bishop on Apostle Sunday. He is our apostle, but he's my personal bishop, so I call him bishop. Sometimes I call him pops or apostle, so oftentimes I refer to him as bishop. But he preached a sermon called Love Revolution. Amen. I enjoyed that sermon. I don't know if you were here for it. It's on the app where you can check it out. And Love Revolution, and this is one of the parts that I really loved about it as we do a little recap. He talked about loving God, loving yourself, and loving others. But in his part about loving yourself, he had this thing, things to say to yourself. And this is to cover, because he was discussing love and Black History Month, but he was showing us how to love us no matter what race we are, and knowing how to love yourself. And so he said we should say these things about ourselves. He said, call yourself vivaciously vanilla, mellow yellow, beautifully black, creamy caramel, and ravishingly red. So wherever you fit in that, and what that reminds me of is red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. So whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever stage of life you're in, this is time for you to start loving yourself and speaking well of yourself and loving God and taking the love you have for God and the love you have for you and loving others. All right, so what I'm going to do, I'm going to piggyback on that just a little bit, and we're going to talk about love advice. We have a love revolution, but I just want to give us some love advice. And so we're going to be talking relationally, and when I'm talking relationally, I'm talking marriage, I'm talking singles, I'm talking your relationship between you and God. I'm just going to give you some love advice. Come on, we all need some love advice. So basically, we're going to send this around, relationship advice from Songs of Solomon. This is the most erotic book in the Hebrew language. It's erotic, it's racy, and I've always shied away from teaching on it because there's just so much in it. And it's pictures, it's a poetic book, and so it's set up in a lot of different ways. And to be honest, as many times as I've read the Bible, it was one of the books that actually confused me. It has a lot of beauty in it, but making the spiritual connection has been hard. So I just always read it for myself, but I never really preached on it. But I'm going to try to tackle it and preach on it today. So in order to do that, we're going to just set it up a little bit in order to understanding Songs of Solomon. So let me help you in understanding the way it's set up. Number one, it is a poem. And this is something you have to understand when you're reading the Bible, when you're reading the poetic books, which is the Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Poems and poetry, it uses imagery set in that day. So when you're reading it from another day, thousands of years later, many times the metaphors and the similes you miss, you don't connect with it. Give you a good example. The reason why some older people don't like rap music is not only because they're rapping and it's fast, but many times the things that they're saying, they're referencing stuff we don't know nothing about. They're using words and images that we don't know anything about. It's like, I ain't got time to listen to all that. But people who understand the culture really love hip-hop. And so if you have to sometimes put yourself in that day to understand the poetry. But once you get past that, then you can find out many times what God is saying. So I'm going to set it up for you to help you kind of understand. There's four characters in Song of Solomon. So we're going to put this up. One, two, three, four. Number one is the woman or the bride. She's the main character of the story that we see in Song of Solomon. The main story, she's a Shulamite woman. And a woman who is getting ready to be married, she's got a boyfriend, so she's the main character. And many times, if you have a modern Bible, they'll show you when she's speaking and when somebody else is speaking. So it's actually written like a poem and a play. Number two is the male or the groom. Some scholars believe he was actually Solomon. Some believe it was another king. But since it's attributed to Songs of Solomon, I kind of believe it was Solomon himself as well. But it's not definite. So you have the woman, the bride. You have the male, the groom. And then you have the daughters. They call them the daughters of Jerusalem. And what this is that this woman has a bunch of girls with her. but they are younger than she is. And she's got a man, and she's getting ready to be married. So she begins to tell the daughters advice on how she got where she's going. Let me say something real quick before I get to preaching. Let me just pause. Why would you follow somebody that doesn't have what you want? Why would you follow somebody that's not going where you're going? I know you want to hang out with your girls, but if all your girls is depressed, you need to find somebody that's not depressed. Find somebody that's heading in the direction you want to go and learn from her. So the daughters of Jerusalem, because she had moved, and here's the thing, is she was a poor woman getting ready to marry a king. So people want to know, how did you land him? And so you got to sometimes hang with somebody who's going where you're going. And so then there's the brothers. The brothers were protective of her. And we won't spend much time on the brothers. We'll mainly cover the woman, the male, and the daughters. But I just want you to understand how it's set up if you read it for yourself. Because when I preach something, it's always good for you to read for yourself. All right, so let's give you the layout of it. It's laid out in three directions. It starts off as a courtship. Then there's a wedding, and then there's a marriage. Problem in life with love, people focus so much on the courtship and the wedding, they don't spend a lot of time on the marriage. But the marriage is the longest amount of time. The courtship has some time, the wedding has some time, but the marriage is where you live it out. So don't get caught up in the courtship and the wedding, and make sure you got every color down to the T and your dress is right, white, right and white, but you don't know anything about being married. Because once the cake is cut and you walk down the aisle, you got to live. I told them in Bible study, me and Devin got in our first major argument on the honeymoon. We hadn't even got back in the States. And I was already slamming doors mad at her, because you got to live life. So I'm going to give you some love advice. All right, so having understanding that just sets it up. Now let's go to Song of Solomon 1 and 2.
Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth.
Woo! In the Bible. That's good stuff in the Bible. Read. Your love is more delightful than wine. Let's stop being so spiritual. Everybody likes a kiss every now and then. A good kiss. You know, we can be adults and we can be honest. There is an attraction, and there's some things that I would like. There's things that I would desire. And so the woman is speaking this. Let him kiss me. All right, read verse 3.
Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you.
This was interesting. Yeah, I hear that. She wasn't the only one that was attracted to him. Somehow he picked her, but she said, no wonder all the women like you. And here's the first thing she says is, pleasing is the fragrance. So before we get spiritual and deep, let me put the first point up: hygiene and worship. Let's start at the base. Ain't nothing wrong with washing up and smelling good and waiting till they have 75% off at Bath & Body and going and racking up and using your coupons, because don't nobody want a funky person. Come on, baby. Make your fragrance good. Smell good. Put the smell goods on. Brush your teeth. Carry a mint around. Get some out toys here. Don't get so deep that you miss the basic principle. You got to smell good. You got to smell good. Now, young men, let me just throw something out to young men. I know that you struggle with weed, but don't nobody want a man that smell like weed all the time. Come on, get some of that off of your breath, out your clothes, out your car. Come on, get an incense, some air freshener, because you need to be presentable. And sometimes the first thing they see is what they smell. But let's adjust real quick. How this does this relate to our worship? Let's give us a scripture that relates to worship. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2.
Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love.
Walk in what?
Love.
Walk in love. Read.
As Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor.
Woo! Not only do you want the human to smell good, God wants his children to smell good. And the scripture says sacrificial love, the type of love that Jesus portrayed where he gave himself for other people, is the sweet-smelling savor of God. Now, I know many times God asks you for sacrifice. And many times you wonder why you always have to be the bigger and the better person. You got to be the one to apologize first. And you have to be the one to not go off. And I know it's hard, but that sacrifice smells good to your Father. It's one of his greatest fragrance. So this is what you have to understand. Your worship is not just what you do in the building. Your worship is how you live. And when you learn to take down, even though it may make you feel like a punk, sometimes it has such an aroma that it makes God say, I know I can bless her. Because when she could have been petty, when she could have been evil, she took the high road and he took the high road. Let me stop for 1 second and talk about our nation. The State of the Union. Anybody heard me preach, you know I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. And don't plan on voting for him. Didn't vote for him the first time. Don't plan on voting for him the next time. But even in that, I didn't really appreciate what I saw Nancy Pelosi do in ripping up the speech. And I know that he didn't shake her hand. But here's the problem that I have. In a nation that's on a global stage, why are we acting like kids? All eyes are on what we call leaders, and nobody knows how to take the high road. Everybody's got to be petty, and everybody has to have an opinion. The way of God is to walk in love even when it hurts, even when it makes you look like you're taking God down. Because what you're saying is, I don't have to have vengeance because God will revenge for me. All right, so it's a sweet-smelling savor. Let's put up 2 Corinthians 2:15.
For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing.
We are the fragrance of God. Let's read the next verse, verse 3.
Pleasing is the fragrance of your perfumes. Your name is like perfume poured out. No wonder the young women love you.
I wanted to go back to this scripture because now that we talk about the fragrance, we covered it both with real life and with worship. So I'm going to tie it. Every time I give you an advice, I'm going to show you where it plays in your spiritual walk as well as just regular real life. But I like what it says. It says your name is like perfume poured out. Let's put this up. Your character and your reputation is important. One of the reasons why she was attracted to him, not just because of what he smelled like, but he had a name and a character and a reputation. Let me tell you something. If you got a dirty reputation, no bath and body, no eternity, no Calvin Klein, no Tom Ford you put on can cover up a nasty reputation. The reason why many people don't care for Donald Trump is not just what he's doing in this season. It's his reputation. It's his character. You can't tell me you grab ladies whenever you want to grab them by body parts and then the next tell me that you're my president. It's because your character has preceded you. Now, yes, I can give you a chance to change your character, but the problem is, let me specifically, especially talk to women. Women, many times you gloss over character because, oh, I can fix it. Y'all think you're a fixer-upper. Let me tell you that some reputations are there for a reason. There are character flaws. There are red flags. Stop closing your eyes to red flags and reputation flaws and character flaws because he smell good. He smell good, but he's not good. Look, open your eye. I like what the woman said. The woman said he smells good, but also his name is like perfume. His character smells as good as his body. His reputation is as good as his body. So your character and your reputation is important. Put up Proverbs 22:1.
A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold.
All right, remember that. We're moving quick. Let's go to this. Let's go to mutual attraction. Another thing I got to talk to people, and sometimes women, when you've been waiting a long time, you just won't take anything. I want to be married. The biological clock is ticking. I want somebody. But if you're not attracted to them today, you ain't going to be attracted to them 20 years from now. It's okay to have a mutual attraction. Don't let anybody tell you it. Don't be caught up in tall, dark, and handsome. But baby, if you caught up in tall, dark, and handsome, if you settle for a whole lot less, you might not be happy. Just, it's okay to be attracted to someone and have a mutual attraction. Now, they may not fit everything in your dream and in your mind, but there ought to be some type of attraction. I don't care if nobody else think they're cute. You ought to think they're cute. Because once the wedding is over and once the cake is eaten and you sitting at home and there's no makeup and the beard's not combed and brushed and all that, you really see how they really look. And if you only like them when they got filters on and you only like them when they dressed up, you're going to find out they was uglier than what you thought. It's okay to have mutual attraction. Let me tell on myself real quick. One of my first times being drunk at college, I had a senior who came over, a senior girl came over and danced with me and kissed me. And I was a freshman. And I felt good about myself because here's this senior coming to be with me. And I was telling my buddies, my roommates, and they weren't smiling with me. They was just shaking their head. I was like, didn't y'all see her? But here's the thing. I saw her later on in the daylight. I had what you call beer goggles on. I was seeing her through the lens of alcoholism. But when I seen her in the daylight, I didn't tell another soul she kissed me. I kissed her because it wasn't what I thought. And here's another thing I'd throw in there. Every time you get with somebody, you get them at the bar. You need to stop that stuff because you don't see everything you need to see when you are inebriated. You need to see folks sober in the daylight. All right, that's enough of that. It's good to have a mutual attraction. Let's go to Song of Song 115.
How beautiful you are, my darling. Oh, how beautiful. Your eyes are doves.
That's what he said to her. How beautiful you are, my darling. Let's look what she said to him.
How handsome you are, my beloved. Oh, how charming. And our bed is verdant.
Our bed is verdant. Let me stop and say this real quick to people who have already crossed and you're married. You have the person. You have the mate. What it took to get them is also what it took to keep them.
Amen.
So it's nothing wrong with coming and telling your wife that she's beautiful. Nothing wrong with telling your man he's handsome. Every now and then, just stop what you're doing and stare at him. And when they look and say, what you looking at? I'm looking at your beautiful self. I'm looking at your good-looking self. Come on, because if you don't talk to him, somebody else will. Let me say this to a married couple. Never send your spouse out the door hungry. What I mean hungry for attention and starving for attention, because this is what I've learned as a man regularly. Even when I'm regularly hungry, I'll eat what I really don't like if I'm hungry enough. I don't care for McDonald's, but when I'm hungry enough, I'll find myself in the McDonald's line waiting for food that I really don't like because I'm hungry. And when you send your spouse out hungry, sometimes they are tempted to stay in places they never would have stayed because that person is feeding the attention you never gave them. The man in the cubicle next to her says, oh, your shoes look nice. Notice that every time their hair changed, notice every time the nails are done. Husband, let me let you know something. You're going to lose some of her attention if everybody notices her but you. Let me take it down to worship. How many times have you talked about the beautifulness of your God? How many times do you take God for granted? Let me ask you a question. When you're in a prayer session, is your prayer session really a complaint session? Every time you pray, you're talking about what God hasn't done. Have you ever started a prayer and said, God, you're beautiful to me. God, you're awesome. I thank you for the stars. Thank you for the moon. I thank you for the sun. I thank you for the wind. I thank you for the ocean. I thank you. Look good to me, God. You're special to me, God. One scripture says, kiss the sun lest he be angry with you. Say, God, I kiss you, and God, I love you, and God, you're special to me. Don't take your God for granted. Remember early in my salvation, and I was working, not even at General Motors, I was working at a glass factory, and I had first time on a tow motor. I was driving a tow motor for the first time. It was funny, I learned to drive a tow motor in the glass factory, and that meant I tore up a bunch of glass. Thank God I didn't get fired, but I ran into a bunch of stuff. But I remember one particular day, I was just talking to God on my tow motor, and I was saying things to God and just... But I ran out of words. You know, every now and then you run out of words. That's why it's good to have a prayer language where you can speak in tongues. But at that time, my prayer language wasn't developed. So I said this. I said, God, I kiss you. And then I was like, that was stupid. Have you ever said something in your spirit, but then your mind tell you that was stupid? So I was like, that was kind of stupid. I drove a little while longer, and my truck jerked. It jerked my whole body. And I thought I actually had hit something, but I didn't hit anything. I was like, what was that? And I heard God say, I kissed your back. I said, oh, whoa, sookie now. This thing is real. Because the God that I cannot see, every now and then he'll let you feel him to let him, you know, he is real, real, real. Jesus is real to me. So many people doubt him, but I can't live without him. That is why I love him so. He's so real to me. So don't let your God go hungry. Give him what he deserves. Don't wait till Sunday to praise God. This really is not the place to praise God. This is the extension of our praise. You praise him in the shower. You praise him in the car. You praise him in the bed. You praise him eating your food. You praise him at the park. You praise him in the mall. When you get something on sale, don't say, oh, thank God for the coupon. No, you say, God, I thank you that you're good to me. Praise him every chance you get. All right, let's move on. Let's give us some more advice. I got to move kind of quickly. Uniqueness and confidence. And so it's beautiful to find someone who is unique. Find someone who is confident in their uniqueness. Now, let me say something about myself. I am a person that I've always seen myself as odd. I've always been a little bit odd. You can ask my family. I was just a little bit different. I've grown to understand my difference actually is what made me unique. And I'm learning to have confidence in my uniqueness. You have to understand, sometimes the path that you have gone, sometimes it makes you feel like you're less than, but that's the thing that makes you original. That's the thing that makes you unique. Don't throw away your trials, your troubles. Don't throw away the breakup. Don't throw away all that, because it made you who you are. And in 2020, it's time to have confidence in your uniqueness. It's funny, my wife at the daycare, she's taught the kids this saying, and they say, not in 2020. So when one of the kids is crying, the other kids will say, not in 2020. So let me say something to you to say the same thing to you. Oh, I'm going to put my head down in the sand, not in 2020. I'm no good. We ain't talking like that in 2020. In 2020, we're going to talk about how good God is to us and how special we are. I'm vivaciously vanilla. I'm beautifully black. I'm ravishingly red. I'm going to celebrate my uniqueness, and I'm going to have some confidence in who God is in me. Now, I want y'all to adopt that. When you see somebody talking negative and talking toxic, you tell them, not in 2020. We ain't doing that. We ain't listening to that, because we are understanding what God is doing in us. All right, let's look at Song of Solomon 2. That moves us into chapter 2 and 1. Yeah, baby.
I am a rose of Sharon, a lily of the valley.
Now, this is what the woman said, but if you know anything about scripture, this is attributed to Christ himself. But the woman spoke up, and if you understand the woman, she was a poor woman. But she didn't allow her money to devalue who she was. And all the daughters were wondering, why does this king want you? Well, let me tell you, daughters, I'm a rose of Sharon. I'm a lily of the valley. You have to understand what a valley is. A valley is the place between two mountains. Valley is usually the dry place. So if there's a lily in the valley, that means even in a dry place, I still popped up. I still showed up even in a dry place because I'm a lily in the valley. I may be in the ghetto, but I'm a lily in the ghetto. I may be on unemployment, but I'm a lily in unemployment. I may not have the kind of car you have, but I'm a lily on the bus. I'm a lily of the valley. I'm the rose of Sharon. I don't know who's passed over me. I'm not worried about that. But one thing I know about myself, I am something special in God. She said, I'm a rose of Sharon. I'm a lily of the valley. Let's look at verse 2.
Like a lily among thorns is my darling among the young women.
This is what the man said about her. She said it first about herself, and he noticed what she was already speaking about herself. He said, you're like a lily among thorns. Sometimes people wonder, why did he pick her? Because all the other folk were thorns, and he found a lily. Let me throw this on you real quick. A lily don't have to show her body on Facebook and Instagram. A lily don't have to wear the tightest thing in the world. A lily don't have to drop it like it's hot. A lily don't have to be twerking and working. A lily can be standing somewhere, and a real man will always seek out the lily. Now, they may touch the thorns first, but after they get tired of being pricked by the thorns, they're looking for a lily. I'm looking for somebody I can trust. I don't want to get too much into this, but every now and then I tell my wife, I said, you can do a little more. And what I mean by that, she always asks me, is this too tight? Is this too much? Because she's voluptuous and she never wants to be showing too much. So many times she tries to hide what she has. And I say, baby, that look good. Because what she don't understand is what folk are wearing now, they'll wear anything. I'm like, baby, you doing okay. But what I like about it, she has it, but she don't have to flaunt it to feel good about herself. She's more akin to covering up than exposing, because the man that she has already grabbed the lily. Because what she understands, I'm going to uncover it, but I'm going to uncover it for the right person at the right time. I don't want to stay on this too long, but let me say this real quick. Men are hunters. Men like to hunt. And so what men do is they hunt. So when you take men going and hunting for deer, they want to take the time. I've never deer hunted, but I got a lot of friends who are deer hunters. And they go through all kinds of stuff to find the deer. Now, here's the thing. If they go to the field and the deer is laying in front of them, they're going to grab it, but they don't have a story to tell. They'd much rather be able to say, I stalked it out. And I got it at the right time, and then I shot it, and then I grabbed it. Now, of course, they'll take it if it's laying there, but the real hunter wants to have a story. If you always approach every man, there's nothing for him to hunt. There's nothing for him to search. If you always up in his face, there's nothing for him to hunt. Will he grab you? He probably still will, because he's a man. But what he's really looking for is somebody, and I don't want to be too traditional, but the old folks used to say it this way. He's looking for a peach out of reach. He's looking for something that's going to make him do a little work. Don't show everything. All right, I promise I'm going to get off of this, but in this day and age, I grew up in a day and age where leggings were not pants. Leggings weren't pants. In other words, you had pants. And leggings were for the gym but now leggings are pants. And so here's the thing you have to understand. You cannot wear the same leggings that everybody else wears, because leggings show everything. And I'm not one of those people who have a traditional dress code at church, But please don't be wearing tights in here showing everything. We are here to worship God, not worship how he built you. We're here to worship him, not how he built you. There's a time and a place for everything, and no, this is not the place for it. Now, some young people don't understand that, and we're not here to dog them, but when I go to pick up my daughter at school, and I see girls coming to pick up their kids at school, I'm like, you showing everything. You have to learn how to be modest. You have to learn how to wrap the gift. Whenever my kids go to Christmas, they are excited about what's under the package. If you just leave everything out of the package, it takes away the suspense. It takes away the expectation. It's okay in 2020 to cover some stuff up. All right. That's enough of that. But don't get too deep. You ain't got to wear a house coat to the beach. Some folk get too saved. No, you about to burn up of heat stroke. Take some of that stuff off. There's a time and a place for everything. When you go swimming, look like you're going swimming. It's okay. But in wintertime, why you got a thong on in wintertime in the middle of the mall? No, understand. No, that's enough of that. I'm just trying to give some love advice. Verse 3.
Like an apple tree among the trees of the forest is my beloved among the young men. I delight to sit in his shade, and his fruit is sweet to my taste.
Now, this is her talking about the men. So I've been jumping on women because many times you have more women in church than men. But the man has to be unique and special, too. All you want to do is shoot craps and smoke weed and ain't got no job and play video games and you're wondering why you can't find a wife. Don't nobody want that. They want somebody who is different. They want somebody who looks different. Pull your pants up. Not because it's a sin, but because everybody else is doing it. Take the Jordans off. Not because Jordans are wrong, but everybody else is wearing Jordans. Wear something different. Look different. It'll captivate somebody's eye. Where is that? Where'd you get that from? Who is he? Because he looked different. He smelled different. He act different. He talked different. Baby, what's up? Everybody hear that. How are you doing today, sweetheart? Ooh, he does something different to me. He talked different. He don't talk like everybody else. You don't have to be the best looking man in the world, but if you're unique, a woman will find you. It says, like an apple tree among the trees of the forest. In the forest is a whole bunch of trees, but I see somebody with some fruit on it. A real man always is producing fruit. He might be going through a downtime, but he got a dream. He got an idea. He's always producing fruit. And a real woman is looking for somebody that can produce some fruit. And all you want to do is hang around with the crowd and be like everybody else and do what everybody else is doing. Be different and unique. That leads me to this: protection and provision. Women, let's just be honest. You don't mind having some protection and some provision. I know it's slim pickings, because nowadays everything is Dutch. We split them bills down the middle. We split a hamburger down the middle. We split everything down the middle. When we go to a movie, you buy yours, I buy mine. But let me remind some men today, women are still looking for protection and provision. I don't mind having a man that'll get up and go to work, and don't mind bringing the money home and taking care of the bills, and don't mind standing up and protecting me and standing up for me. I like a man that'll fight for me. I like a man that'll stand up and protect me. I like a provider for my home. I want a man. And Jesus is the same way. He's your protector and your provider. I know the devil is in your face, and I know the devil is in your head, and I know the devil is in your ears, but you got an M-A-N. His name is J-E-S-U-S. He's a protector and he's a provider. He is a healer and he's a deliverer. He's a mind regulator and he'll wash your sins away. He'll deliver you. He'll clean you. He'll take you up. Everybody needs a man in their life, and the man I need the most is J-E-S-U-S. And to us human men, let's take a page out of his book. And let's be that way for our women. Now things are different because many times a woman can get a better job than a man can. But if you're staying at home and she's making the money, wash the dishes, do the laundry, clean the toilets. You got to provide some way for that house. Your woman should always feel like she's protected and she's provided for. That's what real, look at your neighbor and say, that's what real men do. All right, let's tie it in to the spiritual aspect of Jesus. Look at Song of Songs 2 and 4.
Let him lead me to the banquet hall, and let his banner over me be love.
The Hebrew is Jehovah Nissi. He's the Lord God, our banner. And his banner over me is love. Remember the song, he feeds me at his banquet table. His banner over me is love. What I love about it is no matter what the Democrats or the Republicans do, the banner over me is love. My God got my back. My God got my future. My God got my past. My God got my present. His banner over me is victory. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is peace. His banner over me is joy. I don't know what's going to happen to you, but God got me. I heard the scripture say it this way, 1,000 shall fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come nigh you because the God that you serve. I'm sad and praying for everybody with the coronavirus, but corona won't come my way because God got me. His banner over me is love. They can lay everybody else off, but if they lay me off, that don't mean that's the only place I'm going to get money because his banner over me is love. If you walk out on me and you divorce me, it's okay. Somebody else is coming that's better than you could ever be to me because his banner over me is love. All right, let's turn a real quick corner. Let's go to self-control. So they're courting. They're moving closer to the wedding. And let's look at what she gives the advice to the daughters. This is what she says. Look at verse 7.
Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and the does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so desires.
Baby, I know your hormones are raging, but I'm trying to teach you because I've already landed a king. I've already secured the best man in the land. So let me let you know something. Don't awaken love until it's ready. Don't give in to every arousal until it's ready. Because the man is a hunter, and if you give him everything up front, there's nothing that he really needs in the marriage because you gave him everything up front. Why do I need to give you a ring if I can keep getting wife duties without ever giving you a ring? So daughters, don't awaken this desire, because here's the thing I got to get you understanding, because we have children here. I'm going to say it just the best way I can. Sex is a Pandora's box. Once you open the box, you can't always get back. Once you arouse that thing, it's hard to come back from something that should have been wrapped up. And I know we are all in different stages of our life and we all have graces, so God's not mad at any of us. But whenever you get in a brand new relationship, the last thing to go should be the thing between your legs. Right. I'm preaching better than you're letting on, but I'm talking to men and women. You have to understand, because there's a time and a place for everything. And if you arouse stuff too early, it puts you in a place that you can't always get back from. Now in women, actually, what's released in women when they orgasm is something called oxytocin. It's the bonding chemical. Same thing is released when a woman gives, when she's breastfeeding, that the connection between the mother and the child is the same thing when a woman has sex. The man doesn't have that same bond. It's not the same. That's why the man can be with you and move on to somebody else. Well, while he's with somebody else, you're still stuck to him. Because your heart is made to bond whoever you give yourself to. Your heart is made to bond. And what happens is a soul tie that's created. And when he leaves and goes on about his business and say, by the way, I don't think you're right for me. You walk on. It hurts deeper than what it should have hurt because you bonded. Let me say this real quick. If you dated somebody and all y'all did was hold hands, and they break up with you, it don't hurt as bad. Because you haven't seen them intimately. All you've done was hold hands. You had a few dates. You ate Red Lobster a couple times. And you realize we're not for each other. And you go your separate ways. It don't hurt so bad. But if after date three you in the bed with them, when they walk away from you, it tears at you because you awaken something too fast. Now, I'm going to back off of that and go on to something else. And the reason why, because in this day and age, saved folk have sex all the time. And I'm not talking about married saved folk. I'm talking about saved folk. So I don't want to step on all y'all toes. So let me just say, the Bible is still right. It's still the best way. Not to dog anybody, but I'm just trying to let you know some of the emotional problems, some of the reasons why you are in therapy, stuff that happened in the bedroom. So if you want to protect yourself, let me tell you something. There's not a condom big enough to protect your heart. It can protect some fluids, but it can't protect your heart. It can't protect your emotions. And the reason why some of y'all are crazy is not because you're crazy. It's all them partners are still in your head and still in your heart and still in your soul. And no, this is not just for women, this is for men too. That you was raised to be a player, you was raised to be a pimp, and that's why you're crazy, and that's why you need so much weed, because you got all them crazy women in your spirit. I'm just telling you what the woman told the dogs. That's all I'm saying. All right, that's enough of that. Well, let me jump on something real quick. Not only that, but when you are married and because you are hungry, you end up with other people. Yes, your marriage can be repaired, but you take your marriage to a whole bunch of stuff. That's why the Bible says do not commit adultery, because it's better that you try to keep it in that marriage, because you add a whole bunch of stuff that's unnecessary. That there are people grow up and I got a sister, but don't nobody know she my sister because my dad and their mom did stuff back in the day. So we call ourselves cousins, but we actually sisters. It's a bunch of that junk going around. So it's better to do it the Bible way. Amen. Let's read a little more.
It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality.
Read. Just avoid it. It's best if you can avoid it.
That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable.
It's tight, but it's right.
Yes, it is.
Verse 5.
Not in passionate lust like pagans who do not know God.
Why don't you act like you know him? Come on, read.
And that in this manner, no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister.
I'm going to stop you right there. This is what it says in the Christian context. If you're messing around with people that's not your destiny, you end up wronging each other. You end up, here's the thing, I'm a pastor, so I have a pastor's anointing, but it also means I have a pastor's attack. So if I get tired of Devin and I want to fool around with some of y'all good-looking women in the church, guess what? The demons that try to face me because I'm a pastor, I put them in your life because I wasn't supposed to be with you. I'm supposed to be with her. So when you get with the wrong person doing the wrong thing at the wrong time, you actually disadvantage each other.
Yes.
But that's enough of that. I got to go somewhere else. Let's put this up. Let's come jump on the bears, people, real quick. Not in the mood. It's inconvenient. Let's read. I'm going to have to take a little more time than I thought, but it's good enough to go overtime, ain't it? All right, Song of Songs 5:1. Read this.
I have come into my garden, my sister, my bride.
This is the king, the husband. By this point, they're married. And he's calling her my bride, my sister, my bride. Read.
I have gathered my myrrh with my spice.
I done put on my smell goods.
I've eaten
Hold on. I put on my smell goods. I got Barry White playing in the back. I got some Marvin Gaye. When I get that feeling, I came home from work, but I got it all set up. Reed,
I have eaten my honeycomb and my honey.
I done took my blue pills. Amen.
I have drunk my wine and my milk.
Drunk my wine and my milk. Verse 2.
I have slept, but my heart was awake. Listen, my beloved is knocking.
Now, hold on. This is the woman talking now. I slept, but my heart was awake. My beloved is knocking. Now, the way the king's chambers are set up, you had your own chambers. So he was going to her chamber knocking. Read.
Open to me, my sister, my darling, my dove, my flawless bride.
Man, he talking good. That brother talking good, man. Ain't nothing like when a man wants something, he can talk real good. Let me jump off of this real quick and come back to you single folk. Nothing like a man can talk good when he wants something. That's why you have to be careful, because a man will say anything. I'll give you the sun, the moon, the stars. You ain't even got a job. How you going to give me all that stuff? All right. Read.
My head is drenched with dew. My hair with the dampness of the night.
She said my hair is drenched with dew. In other words, I just washed my hair. I'm ready for bed. Read the next verse.
I have taken off my robe.
I took off my robe. I'm in the bed now. Must I put it on again? Read.
I have washed my feet. Must I soil them again?
He was talking good, but the woman was like, you know what? I've been working all day long. I done cooked. I done cleaned. If you would have came at 8 o'clock, but here you show up at 11 o'clock, I done washed my hair. I got my muumuu on, I got my house shoes, I got my rollers. I don't feel like getting up. I got a headache. Next verse.
My beloved thrust his hand through the latch opening. My heart began to pound for him.
Come on, quit playing, girl, you know. And then she said, my heart began to pound for him. But read verse 5.
I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh. My fingers with flowing myrrh on the handles of the bowl.
See, men are like a microwave. We ready right away. Women are like crock pots. It take a time. So I'm in the bed, got my rollers on. So let me adjust my mind and let me get myself together. And so she's getting herself together, got her lotion on, taking the time. Look at verse 6.
I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had left. He was gone. My heart sank at his departure. I looked for him, but did not find him. I called him, but he did not answer.
Mm. When he was ready, she wasn't. This is the attack on marriages. Because of our schedules, many times it's hard to come together like we should. That's why if you want to get married just to have sex, you in for a rude awakening. Because you can sleep in the same bed and take months to come together. Because of the way the life is. And so this is something for married people. Sometimes you have to make time for each other. Amen. You have to inconvenience yourself even when you're not in the mood. Let me flip it spiritually. Many times God is ready to talk when you're tired. Mm-hmm. God is ready to stir you up and have you shout hallelujah and speak in tongue when you're tired. And guess what you do? You shut God all the way off. But when you wake up and you're ready to talk to him, sometimes the opportunity is gone. God does not, he's not required to bring revelation to you a second time around. When he is pregnant with revelation to release to you, you have to stop what you're doing and be ready for him. And don't take all day. I tell people, keep a journal beside your bed. God may want to talk to you in the midnight hour. Stop being too tired to talk to your God. Because sometimes it's too late. The business idea, you see somebody else running that business, that I always thought about that, because God came to you in the midnight hour with a business plan, but you was too tired for him. But you've been on Facebook all day, Instagram all day, watched TV and soap operas all day, but you were too tired for him, and he wasn't coming to get something from you. He was coming to get something to you, but he had to pass over you and give it to somebody else. So when it's time, it's just time. Learn how to inconvenience yourself in the mood. And here's the reason why. Because of friendship and sacrifice. Let's look at this. Song of Songs 5:16.
His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. This is my beloved. This is my friend, daughters of Jerusalem.
Basically what happened after he was gone, she looked everywhere for him. And she was telling the daughters of Jerusalem, listen, I got to find him because when he came to me, I wasn't ready for him. I had already called myself in for the night. And now I don't want nobody else to get him. Tell him to come back. She was looking for him. And at the end of the day, this is the reason why she said, because at the end of the day, that's my friend. And because he's my friend, I want to make sure he has what he needs. And if God is your friend, you will sacrifice for him. He died for me. The least I can do is fast a few days for him. The least I can do is read some scriptures. The least I can do is sing to him. God, I'm sorry that the voice on TV was more important than your voice. God, give me another chance. I want another chance because at the end of the day, you're my friend. I'll tell you about the time where God stepped out of eternity into time to talk to me, and I shut him off because I was too tired and how it bothered me. And I learned better than that. Let's not be those type of people. Let's make sacrifice for our friend. Let's look at Song of Song 7:10.
I belong to my beloved, and his desire is for me.
That means exclusivity. I belong to him, and he belongs to me, my God. And so let's put this up, set the mood. Sometimes you're not in the mood, but you have to learn how to set the mood, create the mood. I'm going to start off with worship. Learn how to create the mood for worship. Sometimes the best way to create the mood for worship is to turn stuff off. Sometimes do not disturb on your phone. And sometimes take the phone off the hook. You still got a landline. Take the phone off the hook. Push back the plate. Shut some stuff off. Sometimes I turn the lights off and get in the dark and get away. Set a mood for God. Because we miss things because God, because of Christ, God comes and we don't have to do what they had to do in the old days. But you need to go understand the tabernacle, what it took for God's presence to show up. And you need to carve out time for God. You need a secret place with God. You need a place where only you and God meet and talk and set the mood for your God. It also goes over to regular advice, especially to married couples. Let's look at 7:11.
Come, my beloved, let us go to the countryside. Let us spend the night in the villages.
This is the woman talking back then. She wasn't in the mood before, but she learned her lesson. She said, you know what? We're going to take a vacation. Some of y'all married folk, you need a vacation without the kids, without anybody. Tell the job, I'll see you later. I'm about to go get with my woman. I'm about to set the mood with my man, and we about to reconnect, and we about to be intimate. We about to talk to each other. Forget the grandkids, forget the kids, and even forget the deliverance temple for this weekend. I'm about to go somewhere and spend some time with my loved one. All right, let's go to verse 12.
Let us go early to the vineyards to see if the vines have budded, if their blossoms have opened, and if the pomegranates are in bloom there. I will give you my love.
Baby, we got to get away from Muncie. We got to get a hotel room. And when we get a hotel room, we're not planning to fall asleep early because we watched a movie. No, we're planning to do some stuff that's going to connect some intimacy. We are setting the mood. We are doing some stuff on purpose. We can't leave everything to chance. Our schedule is too messed up. We about to have a vacation, and we plan on doing some stuff in the vacation because we're trying to come together. Sometimes church folk, we do it right, and then we the most prudish people. We act like we can't do nothing. Nuh-uh. You need to enjoy the wife of your youth and the husband of your youth, and that's how you stay together. Some of those arguments can be fixed if y'all would just get into bed and do what couples, married folk, supposed to do. Look at your neighbor and say, set the mood. I know this ain't for everybody. This is for the married folk. I'm letting you know what need to happen. Me and my wife, when we were after our honeymoon, we went to the Virgin Islands. And somebody said, oh, y'all going to the Virgin Islands? I said, yes, but they won't be Virgin Islands when we get back. Because when I'm going to the honeymoon, there's some stuff I plan on doing to enjoy the wife that God gave me. Amen. And this is what the woman said. She said, there I will give you my love. She let the man know up front. See, sometimes you got to tell the man exactly. I don't want to spend money to go to Indianapolis. I don't want to spend money to go to the Sybaris. I'm going to give you my love. Okay, here go the credit card. I'm glad you told me what was going to happen. That changes my mind. All right, let's look at verse 13.
The mandrakes send out their fragrance, and at our door is every delicacy, both new and old, that I have stored up for you, my beloved.
The mandrakes were an aphrodisiac of that time. Whatever I've got to do for us to connect, that's what I'm got to do. I may need to get a charge card at Victoria's Secret. I know I'm a church mother and I got a big hat all the way up here, but that hat got to come off at some time. I'm going to buy some stuff and I'm about to look good. I'm about to smell good because I got to connect with my man. I got to connect with my woman. I'm taking the clergy collar off. I'm doing some push-ups and some sit-ups because I'm trying to connect with, come on somebody, I'm trying to connect with my spouse. And the problem is single folk know how to do it better than we do. Because I'm holy. I'm saved. We're going to go there and pray. There's going to be time for you to go and pray. But this ain't the praying vacation right now. We're going to be doing some praying. We're going to be praying to God saying, God, I thank you for this woman you blessed me with. I thank you for this man you blessed me with. I'm getting the devil out of my house. We're about to have some warfare and some worship between me and her and me. And we're going to come together.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 And this is what single folk have to look forward to. And here's the problem. The reason why single folk have to do it now, because the married folk look so unhappy. Why should I wait to be married? Because y'all always fussing and fighting. Y'all never drive the same car. I never see y'all together. When you do go out in the restaurant, he on this corner, you on that corner. Us married folk is the reason why some of the single folk act so bad. Let us love each other. Let us have a twinkle in our eye and a sparkle in our eye. Grab your baby by the hand when you're walking in the mall. I love it when I see an old couple. They about 85 and 83, and they still holding hands and walking together. And I'm glad my daddy still opens the door for his woman. Let us show these couples it's something to look forward to when you grab the right one. Same thing when you're married to your God. The reason why unsaved folk don't want to come to church because we're the depressed, crazy, evil folk. We got to act like God has been good to us. We got to act like we serve a great and a mighty God. I'm married to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I can't talk to you all night because I got to go worship with my God. I got to go get a hotel room, not with another woman, not with my wife. I got a hotel room, just me and my God and the Bible open. And I'm going to pray and talk to my God and get fire from on heaven. That way when you see me like Moses, my face will glow because I've been with my God. We got to show the world what it's like to love your Savior. And as I come to a close, I went more than I thought, but I love every minute of it. Amen. The last one is commitment. Let's put this up. Songs 8 and 6.
Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm.
Like a tattoo on your arm.
For love is as strong as death. Its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like blazing fire. Like a mighty flame.
Love is as strong as death. Let's look at verse 7.
Many waters cannot quench love.
That there, many waters means many troubles. Can't quench love. Read.
Rivers cannot sweep it away.
Baby, I know we were at divorce court a couple years ago, but we done put that out of our mind. Every time we argue, we're not going to talk about leaving each other. Listen, we coming together. Waters can't stop this. Rivers can't stop this. Demons and devils can't stop this. A mother-in-law in our business can't stop this. A father-in-law in our business can't stop this. Cousins and friends and kids can't stop this. I'm with you and you with me. I'm with you, babe. You with me, babe. We're going to be together. And the same thing when it comes to your God. Trouble can't stop this. A low bank account can't stop this. Depression can't stop this. What the Democrats and Republicans can't stop this. Because the love is as strong as death. And you died for me, God. And I'm going to live for you.
Amen.
Read this.
If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned.
That's it. That's the end of this. If everybody could give everything they have for love, it would be utterly scorned. And there was one person that gave everything for love. And it says it this way, God so loved the world that he gave his son. He gave his son to us, and that indeed is true love. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. Well, we're going to do something real quick. Would you hand the mic to Sister Kelly? As we close, we're going to close with communion. I've got communion Sunday, but we're going to do it different. The leaders are going to take communion in front of you. And we're taking communion for you in the stead of God. We're saying that we want love to break out in your heart for your God. But we want you to have that close connection with God like many of us have. I'm going to ask that Bishop Mitchell and Elect Lady Mitchell will come. I'm also asking Bishop Starks will come. Would you just come on the stage? Just come up on stage. That's right. Let's show this picture of marriage. My wife is not here, so I'm going to have Bishop Starks stand in as well.
Yes, Lord.
Here's the communion. You go ahead and open it. Sister Kelly, would you... read 1 Corinthians, put up communion celebration. This is, yeah, thank you. 11:23. Read 11:23.
For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he comes.
Come on, let's praise God for this. Amen. Thank you. Thank you very much.